This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for checking in today. Watching on YouTube TV, listening on Sirius XM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates across the country. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard with you. We are live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Sportsbook and the Resort Casino here. Beautiful spot, best sports book in the entire world. Just talked to Richie Bacciolari for tonight's card. His numbers for tomorrow for a half an hour. Greg Hoops Peterson coming up. And for those of you not in town, what is it, like 88 degrees today, Pauly? I bet you Stadium Swim is absolutely popping right now and tomorrow and over the weekend.
Beautiful, my man.
Now here, we do get to 98 next week, which is a little too much for March. I mean, let's not kid ourselves here.
There's going to be some accidents at the pool. Last year, I saw a guy getting wheeled out. I mean, this is really, you got to be able to watch yourself. You lose your cookies.
Throw those waters in.
Yep, that's right. You know, the Ursay auction's still going on. This is astonishing.
Did it start last night or today?
Last night, but he's got so much stuff, it continues. Eddie Van Halen's guitar, $580,000. The saddle for Secretariat. Bob Dylan guitar at a concert in 93.
What did the saddle go for?
I didn't see that. Okay. These estimates aren't even close. It's like, maybe this will go for $1 million. They're blowing past it on every single item.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible what's going on here at Christie's and what Ursay had. Oh, what a story.
Okay, so games still in action right now in overtime, Big Ten tournament. Wisconsin leads Illinois 87-83. We came on the air an hour ago. I'm holding Wisconsin plus 8.5 in pocket here. And it was not looking good because Illinois could not miss. They expanded the lead to a dozen or a little bit more than that. And Wisconsin did what they can do. And that is they got hot from offense. Now we're looking at Boyd right now has 36 and Blackwell has 34. And most games, what does that go back and tell? Most games, Big Ten tournament game in history, Terrence Shannon had 40 a couple of years ago for Illinois. Both of these guys now are in the mid-30s. And I know JVT was on Wisconsin like 125-1 to win the whole thing. Last week here at Circa, the Blackjack Tournament, our buddy Scotty Tribuca was picking out of 16 teams. I think he was picking like 13th is where he finished. And he was going to take St. Mary's because that would have paid like $1.2 million. And we had a conversation. I'm like, take a peek at Wisconsin. So he has, a $3,000 bet at 80-1 on Wisconsin to win the national title now. They're a really good shooting team. And so when they're having one of those days, they can make a deep run. But I don't.
Lenardi's got him a 6 seed playing Miami, Ohio. How about that? And if they win, they play Bama. That'd be a track meet. That'd be a fun game.
Oh, my God. Would that be a. That's the region for Wisconsin. Yep. Because both those games are going to fly over the.
UConn is the 2 in that region, Miami's the 7.
First of all, Wisconsin would absolutely bury Miami, and that total, if it's anything below 160, you'd have to absolutely just fire on the over. Keep going until they say no more.
I am not going to be prepared for these second-round matchups when the 1-8 and the 1 is laying 15, 16, 17 points.
If that's how big they are.
Yeah, and it's astonishing what their power and how good these teams are.
Do you have anything in action right now? You want to look at Tulsa to come back and maybe win the game? They had such a rocky start.
Yeah, making a nice run. No, can't get there. Down 10. No.
What do you have for a score?
2.5. I have 42-32.
Okay, so you're slightly ahead of me then as we speak.
Yep, 16 minutes. That's a 6 against the 3. Tulsa just hit a 3, though, and Tulsa off the extended rest. We'll see how they do trying to come back. And we could have a some final tomorrow in Conference USA. The 4-seed Louisiana Tech is through to the title game. The 1-seed Liberty went out early, and Sam Houston, the 2, was down 6 with 6 minutes left against Kennesaw State. What a story that would be tomorrow morning. Duquesne and VCU coming up. VCU's been hot. They're laying 8.5. This is Lenardi's last team in is Texas. So if Oklahoma wins, they're probably going to switch spots. But VCU, Missouri, SMU, and Texas, the last 4 in, according to Lenardi. Oklahoma, Auburn, New Mexico, San Diego State, last 4 out. I think VCU can win this tournament, no doubt. And certainly you got a one seed who's got issues, and that number is up. St. Louis, 5.5 against Dayton tomorrow in the first semifinal. Toledo and UMass coming up. Toledo, 2.5. We'll see if if UMass can shock the world again off the win over Miami, Ohio. I already mentioned this is too much. I took 7.5 with Kent State against Akron, the other semi in the MAC. Listen, this Akron team's great, and they are blowing people out, exception of yesterday. But they blew them out in both meetings. But, boy, this is some power rating here to be laying 7.5. And I think that's too rich.
Oh, boy. Okay, hold on here. Let's update everybody, because Wisconsin now is leading by 2 with 5.8 seconds left, and Carrington is at the free throw line. He just missed the first free throw.
How'd they cut it to 2?
I have no idea. Illinois has some life.
He makes it.
Yeah, he makes the next one. So it's 91-88. Illinois has 0 timeouts left.
Got a foul.
So, right? We saw that with Davidson last night at the end of regulation.
Don't let him get it off.
So Wisconsin decides to take a timeout. Yep. Set up. Okay. You have to foul again. I'm watching the end of that Davidson game last night because I bet them live when they were down against Loyola Chicago. And I got like plus 114, I think, on Davidson. They come roaring back to take a 3-point lead. The obvious call or play here is to foul Loyola and not to let them get a shot off, give them the 2 free throws, and then you don't want to take the chance of going to overtime. They never did that. And Loyola had the ball for plenty of time. It wasn't like this crazy scenario where they couldn't possibly foul. They decided not to foul. Kid hits a 3, they go to overtime. Now, they hung on and they won the game. But it doesn't matter what level we're talking about. I can't believe we're still... I say this every year. How is this discussion still possible? You have to foul every single time.
Yep. Especially in the NBA when these guys are... don't miss.
Oh, my God. They're...
everyone on the floor can shoot.
And they can shoot from 30 feet or beyond that.
Yep.
Let's see Wisconsin decides to do. Are they going to foul?
No.
No.
Good look.
Oh, boy.
Oh, he got a wide open look. That was terrible defense.
Horrible.
They gave him a wide open look.
They gave him a look from like 28 feet, and it goes off the back of the iron. And by the way, again, they were set up quite well there to foul, and they decided not to. We're going to give him the shot instead. Ah, boy,
what a comeback.
Boy.
What a comeback. Bucky, yep. Good job.
That was a big number pregame to get it done, and a bigger number live to come back and win the game. Now they get Michigan tomorrow, a team that they went to and provided their first loss of the entire season. On the road, by the way, for Wisconsin this year.
Okay. Do you have any thoughts on the WAC and the Big West as well? And Commissioner Bruce Marshall later in the show? Because this is interesting where... the Big West and the WAC give both the one, as they should, the 1 and 2 seeds get buys into the semis.
Let me give you some numbers.
We've got some big point spreads, and we've had some movement on this. I mentioned the Utah Valley from 6, 6.5 up to 9 in the first game.
Yep. I do have some trends for the WAC. Mm-hmm. Steve Mackinnon at VSiN.com. I want to get these games right with the conference because we have a 9 o'clock Eastern and 11:30 Eastern tonight. Mm-hmm. So WAC teams coming off an earlier round bye and have been favored are 15-1 straight up and 12-4 ATS. Qualifying plays for tonight, Utah Valley State, Cal Baptist.
Cal Baptist swept Utah Tech. They are 6.5 and 143.5, the total there. Utah Valley's up to 9.5 in the first game against Arlington.
I'll tell you this as well. Only 3 WAC tournament underdogs of 3 points or more have won outright in the last 12 years. Those teams are 3-57 straight up, 22-38 ATS. That's 36.7%, including 0-8 straight up and 2-6 ATS a year ago. And that would obviously fit both teams tonight, both those dogs, Texas Arlington and Utah Tech.
Cal Irvine is a low power rating. That's a great program. They've been good for a long, long time. They're only 3.5 against Northridge. That's the 1 against the 4.
Mm-hmm.
That's surprising. And then Richie mentioned the Hawaii game, too. Hawaii 5.5 against Fullerton. And Hawaii off a brutal loss. Lost as a 15-point favorite to Long Beach last week in the final conference home game. So maybe they'll be in a foul mood. Get that taste out of their mouth coming up tonight.
I'm on so I bet I said this on the air for the first hour as well. Not just bringing it up because it won. The SEC right now, I had under 68.5 Tennessee and Vandy first half. 31-31 is the score. The second half total is about 77.5.
Uh-huh.
In that first half, and I have the game under 148, I might actually play for a middle and go over 77.5. Tennessee shot 37%, Vandy shot 41%, and the teams combined to shoot 5 of 25 from 3. I think that will only get better. And then you always have the possibility of free throws, late fouling, or maybe the potential of overtime. And so that middle right now would be, what, 8.5 points, I believe?
All right. Looking for the Wisconsin-Michigan line. And in the meantime, South Florida, Charlotte, South Florida, 14.5 in the first semi in the American tomorrow. UAB did it again.
Yeah.
It was, have I been to Birmingham? They didn't cover one game in Birmingham this year in conference. 0-10,
yeah.
ATS.
So my answer with another result, wow. Like, no, I've never been to Birmingham.
So UAB goes out after losing outright to Charlotte. Follow the money brought to you by ProphetX. March Madness has got a lot more interesting. ProphetX running a great promotion. King of March, you can win free trips worth up to $10,000 just by betting the tournament. 10 pregame spreads or totals across the 67 games. Hit your volume goal, bang, and every 10 additional wins earns you another shot. 1,000 in volume, you're entered for the 5K trip. 10,000, you're entered for the 10K trip. Flights, hotels, wherever you want to go, ProphetX covers it. Try the St. Bart's route, what the listener sent in, what we played, win some, lose some. It's simple. Download the app, use code VSINMM and start winning. ProphetX, King of March, get the app, code VSINMM.
I promise up next, I will pay this off. One team fits a trend that has hit 73% of the time since 2017 in action tonight.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Coming up in 15 minutes, Greg Hoops Peterson on the program. His thoughts on tonight's card. We'll throw some games at him for tomorrow as well. Let me get this trend and pay it off. Steve Mackinnon again, VSiN.com. Great numbers every day, every week, every year. Doesn't matter the sport. Conference tournaments, tournament favorites coming off of a win, scoring 90 points or more, are on an incredible 73-16 straight up run and 64-24-1 ATS. 73% Paulie all the way back to 2017. One play tonight, and that is UConn. They're laying a gigantic number against a Georgetown team that looked, I would say, damn impressive last night.
Oh, yeah. Great win. Great performance.
I can't lay that many points with UConn. They were awesome. Took care of business. Hurley felt a little cocky in the postgame presser. That's fine. That's who he is and what he does.
Yeah.
But I'm just I'm holding out hope that we get St. John's and UConn tomorrow.
Oh, that'd be great. Oh, that'd be phenomenal. That atmosphere.
We have to have that game.
Have to have it. I know. That's why I'm scared in the first game. Another reason why I bet Seton Hall. I'm scared. Can't have nice things, right? Won't give
it
to us.
We're not allowed to.
Won't give it to us. Mm-hmm. So that would be fantastic. The rubber match in that environment. At the Mecca. Can't wait.
Let me
UConn's $1.50 at DraftKings, St. John's plus 170 to win it.
Interesting. Okay.
Seton Hall 12-1 and Georgetown's an astronomical number.
Did you
find anything that you looked at other than Dayton?
Today?
With the updated numbers? Yeah.
And that was the only.
Akron still seems cheap at 220, though. I mean, you're laying 7.5, and it'd be bigger than that in the final.
I did not. The only one I looked at was the A-10. Earlier today, and again, when St. Louis was getting absolutely buried, looked like the game was over with, I took a little Dayton at about plus 615 in that range.
Really like Dayton tomorrow. I think
at that
Dayton,
number, if it's Dayton, six, is that?
Yeah, Dayton 5.5, yeah. Dayton just blew them out, and St. Louis is in the tournament. They're not playing well. Down 14 at the half against G-Dub, and Dayton trying to be a bid thief.
And when a team in conference tournament action brings their absolute A game and is elite defensively. They allow 55 points or fewer in a win. The next game, 43-77 ATS. That's 35.8%. And they're only 29-92 straight up back to 2020. That would be Iowa State today. What do you think about Richie Baccalieri calling Arizona the square slash sucker side in the game tonight?
He's right. Yeah, looks too easy. Everything he said's right. They just kicked their ass. They're the better team. Iowa State's been great in the tournament, but why is it only 3.5, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just one seed hip pocket, and let's talk and focus on next week.
ACC tonight, Duke, a 10.5 point favorite. That came down from 11.5.
I like Clemson.
Yeah, I took a little Clemson plus 10.5.
Yeah, it did not look good last night. Duke was lucky.
Nope.
But then again, he's true about what Shire said, and we have the one seed wrapped up, and what's the incentive here?
Yeah, and the other one would be Miami and Louisville. I know a lot of people, not Louisville, they're taking on
Virginia.
Yep.
Good game. Richie took four with the dog.
Yeah, I haven't heard one person make the case for Virginia in this game yet. And to that point, ACC semifinal dogs, 25-7-3 ATS since 2007. That's 78.1%. 12-2-1 ATS since 2017. Both won ATS last year. Trends don't pay the rent, but I think this kind of stuff is fascinating for me to look at. And we brought this one up yesterday between Clemson and North Carolina. Lower totaled ACC tournament contests, 140 points or fewer, have gone over. Now 36-20 since 2016, and that's now more than 64%, and that would qualify for the Clemson-Duke game tonight as well. And let me give you this from our buddy Scott Seidenberg, host here on VSiN. So Duke won last night as a 17-point favorite, but they lost. Here's the system that he found. If you're a 15-plus point favorite and you win by a margin of 3 points or fewer, the next game when you're a 10-plus point favorite since 2021, yeah, they win 24-4 straight up, but only 7-20-1.
Hey.
ATS. Dogs in this spot, 75% going back. Florida State, what? I mean, that was no fluke. Florida State's also been pretty good lately,
mm-hmm.
and they played right there with them the entire time for the most part.
Also, Johnny Avello on the network here said DraftKings will have the spreads posted Selection Sunday 10 to 15 seconds after the matchups are up there on the screen.
Seconds, huh?
That's incredible. So look for that. They'll have the first numbers right when the matchups and the brackets come out Sunday. So all you can eat. Good job.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what's taking so long for the Michigan-Wisconsin line, though. Come on, Johnny. Put the cheesecake down. Can't get that one. I think I'm with Richie on this. Baltimore County's too short at home tomorrow. Vermont's got a great program, and they're always in the mix and always a tournament team. But this isn't your typical Vermont team. They are the two seed. And they did split, but Baltimore County took them out at home with ease. So to be laying 2.5 here, that seems short to me to start the day. And tomorrow is phenomenal. You got two games that go at 8 a.m. Pacific, and we go all the way till midnight out here because the WAC title game's at 9 o'clock. So there's 12, I think we go 11 title games right in a row from 3 Pacific on. So tomorrow's a great day as well, and we start with Baltimore County and Vermont. And all those numbers are up at various books.
What's crazy about tomorrow is, let's assume that we get the Johnnies in UConn and it's a close game, comes down to the wire. You really don't even have a breather. You can't even take it easy. It's like, oh my God, we got more action going on right now and coming up a little bit later on tonight. You know who I miss this time of year a lot? Is Bill Walton.
Well, he was great on the Pac-12.
God, I love that guy.
Yeah.
I loved him on games. It was
I just missed the whole tournament. I missed the league. I missed the conference tournament out here. It's great. And we get the watered down version coming next year, but it won't even be close to be the same because that atmosphere was electric. And a lot of those schools traveled well, and it was great. Yeah. And he was phenomenal. That's strong.
Some Mountain West numbers since 2011. Tourney favorites of 5.5 points or fewer. 46-25 ATS at 65%.
Good game. Nevada's live tonight. That was a great performance against Grand Canyon. What a win. Did you see what happened? Grand Canyon was in the bonus 5 minutes into the second half.
No, I missed that. That's outrageous.
Yes, and Nevada somehow won.
Oh, that's
great,
man.
Win for Alford and his program. So they just beat Utah State. They win, and they're playing for it all tomorrow. That's a good semifinal. Two semifinals tonight, and certainly, the loser's done. But the winner's cooking, right, if the San Diego State New Mexico winner.
Well, I will point this out with favorites in this conference, again, to give you an idea of what it's been like in this very specific tournament. Semifinal favorites are on a run going back 20 games, 16-4 straight up, 14-6 ATS, 70%. So Utah State and San Diego State would fit that one right there. You have Utah State in pocket at what, +3 something?
Oh, no, Aztecs.
I'm sorry, San Diego Aztecs. State. Yeah.
Yes, +350, +340, something like that.
Yeah, if we get that game,
yep.
I think
I really like San Diego State.
Yeah, you're going to be feeling pretty good if they get that game.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, Utah State already in. Aztecs need to win the conference tournament, and they have matched up real well against Utah State. Had them down double digits on the road and punked them at home, blew them out.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a great matchup for the ticket there in the Aztecs.
We're going to talk to Greg Peterson coming up in 7 minutes here on the show. A lot of games. I can't wait to get his thoughts on, I think, what is an under-the-radar, potentially very good game tonight that could be a rock fight, and that would be UCLA and Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
I did. I tailed Humans and a couple of others on Michigan State to win the conference. I think I have +610 in pocket as of the other day. But this game scares me a little bit. I think it's a really good game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And Peterson has an opinion on it, as he does for most of these games anyway.
Yep. You look for his write-ups every day. He's got the early games up there. And he's got a plethora of picks, as always, VSiN.com. Check it out. And he'll be on coming up. We'll run it down rapid fire. Juice Real links all your sportsbook accounts, imports your bets, and gives you automatic tracking analytics. And it's free. In the app, everyone's bet history is synced directly from the books. No faking stats. No lying about profits. You're as good as your record says you are. Juice Real ranks every better. You can see exactly what the best bettors have their money on, tail their picks, join on the profits, and if you're the sharp, you get paid when others follow your picks and win. Download Juice Reel free today, R-E-E-L. Get it today, Juice Reel, R-E-E-L, Juice Reel. It's free.
I went to bet Tulsa live here on the air, and it went from a plus number to a minus number, and they have since taken a one-point lead. And North Texas with a couple of free throws to retake the lead at 52-51.
This was a wild start. This was 15-0 North Texas.
I will point this out. At the Players' Championship, Ludwig Obert has 2 eagles today. He is 8-under, and I believe he's on 14 right now. He is the solo leader right now, playing on 14 the way it looks. One up on Schauffele. Cameron Young is a couple back at 9-under. And then the closest competitors on the course right now, Henley is 6-under through 11, McNeely 6-under through 13, JT 6-under through 12. As we said, Greg Hoops Peterson on the program coming up next. A lot of games to get into, and we'll talk about UCLA Sparty, his thoughts on Seton Hall St. John's, John's tipping off right around the corner as well. See who he likes next. Follow the Money is brought to you by PropitX, and right now you can win flights and hotels anywhere you want, up to $10,000, with their King of March contest. Sign up with the code VSINMM. And we go out now to the Progressive guest line. Greg Hoops Peterson joins the program, host of the Coast to Coast Hoops podcast here at VSIN. Hoops, let's begin with the game that's going to be tipping off here anytime now. In the Big East, St. John's taking on Seton Hall. Point spread, total, you have an opinion, or you had an opinion on both. What did you like earlier? Because I know you wrote about it at vsin.com.
Yep, I took the over overnight. You were seeing this around 132 in a lot of places, between 132, 132 and a half. Now I'm seeing this jump to 136, 136 and a half, and it's one of those things where you bet numbers. You don't just say, oh, I'll take the over on anything, because I made my total 135.5. So if you're seeing that 136 plus, I think the value is just gone. But I'm still seeing St. John's laying in that neighbor of like 7 or so, and I'm willing to lay with St. John's. I made them a 9.5 point favorite. I do think that this is a good spot with these teams. Having actually played about a week or so ago as well with St. John's, they're going to be playing at the Garden, and we've seen the track record of Rick Pitino here in the Big East tournament at the Garden. This has gone up to, in some places, even like an 8, 8.5. I'd be willing to lay that. I'd be willing to lay up to 9 with St. John's because I do think that this team dominates on the boards, and with Senol, they just haven't been able to shoot very well outside the top 275 in terms of their 2-point and 3-point shooting percentage.
All right, how about the nightcap? UConn 15.5, 138.5 against Georgetown.
I'm going to be willing to take the points with Georgetown. We have just seen this UConn team not be able to cover spreads all season long, and Georgetown has been a little bit of a different team here recently, and the X factor for them has been Vincent Iuchuku, a true 7-footer that was a top 75 recruit. He was on that team over at USC a few years ago with Bronny James, had some health issues, very unfortunate, but ever since he's gotten back up, he's given Georgetown a little bit of punch. Gives you about 12 points, 6 boards. Is he going to be able to win the battle down low against Terrace Reed and company? No, but he can provide a little bit of resistance. We saw Julius Alafana have a big game against Villanova, and I don't know what it is, but you guys remember a few years ago, Georgetown winning the Big East tournament. They just have seemed to have success in general in this tournament, and with UConn, they've been, for lack of a better term, just not a complete team. One day, they'll shoot really well from three. The next week, they'll be a little bit off. One day they'll be amazing with the rebounding. The next it'll be a little bit off. They just haven't been able to put together a full 40 minutes. So I took 15 here with Georgetown.
All right.
All right, let's go Big 12 tonight. This is a number. We brought this up in the first hour of the program. Richie Bacciolieri thought the same thing. Longtime Vegas odds maker. Why is Arizona down to 3.5 against Iowa State?
Yeah, that's very curious to me as well, because for Iowa State, this is a complete team. They're in the top 20 in terms of both points scored and points allowed. Purposes. This is not a bad team by any stretch of the imagination. That said, I just really like what I'm seeing out of this Arizona bunch. You've got Monte Uvas Cribas along with Toby Awaka combining for about 17.5 rebounds per game. And Iowa State just doesn't have quite as much on glass. Joshua Jefferson has good versatility with 15.7 rebounds, but we just saw this game on Big Monday a few weeks ago, albeit it was a home game for Arizona, but that was a boat racing by Arizona. Now you do have this game out there in the great state of Kansas, so that helps out Iowa State a little bit, and thank goodness gracious they did away with the glass floor. Shocker, the glass floor might be a little bit slippery. Who could have thought of that? But that said, with regards to Arizona, I do think that this team just very complete. When they need to go and shoot a few threes, which they don't do very often, they're able to do so quite effectively. I actually think that Braden Burries has been one of the most improved players in all of college basketball. I just think that this Arizona team's too complete. Felt like this line should have been closer to 6, so I lead the 3 here with Arizona.
Wow, and right now as you speak on the screen here at Circa, Arizona's down to 3 minus 105. Maybe this comes down to 2.5? Okay, at some point I'm going to have to be on Arizona as well, Greg. How about the other Big 12 game? I know you didn't write about this today on the website, but there has been some movement here. Houston was hanging around 6. Now it's some books down to 4.5 against Kansas. What would you need to bet it either way?
Yep, this is my buy point on Houston. I was willing to lay up to 5 with them. Overnight, it was hovering between 4.5, 5.5. I wanted to see where this would shake out, but I'm in on Houston. I just don't trust this Kansas team right now. Do they have upside? Yes, but it feels like since Darren Peterson has been playing 30-plus minutes, as weird as it is to say, it feels like Kansas has actually been a little bit worse. With Peterson, he just hasn't been very efficient out there. He's playing more minutes, but it feels like he's taking a lot of shots that are a little bit forced right now, and you can't do that against this Houston team. This Houston team is one of the best defenses, once again, in all of college basketball. They've been able to get Miles Zuzan to be able to fire on all cylinders, shot over 40% from three-point in conference play. And the one thing you know about Houston is that they're not going to beat themselves. Top 10 team in the country in terms of fewest turnovers on a per-possession basis. Now, Kansas does a great job in terms of disallowing clean looks, and this total of 139, in my opinion, is too high. Kansas has been one of the best teams to the under all season long. Houston's outside the top 320 in terms of total possessions per game. I felt like this total should have been closer to 134, 135. So I like that under. But with Houston, as long as I can get a 5 or less, I'm willing to lay it.
It appears Oklahoma's in with a win tonight. They're down to 6.5 against Arkansas, 166.5.
Yep, and I took the points here with Oklahoma. I also took that under as well, because the one thing that Arkansas does well, they guard the 3 well. They're a top 75 team. in terms of opponents' three-point shooting percentage. Not strong on the inside. And I recognize that this is not an Oklahoma team that's going to be winning awards for the low post player or anything like that, but it is a team that's in the top 85 in terms of offensive rebound percentage. Muhammad Wagiu is giving you between 6.5 to 7 rebounds per game. And for Oklahoma, what I like about this team is that they've got experience in the backcourt. Nigel Pack is a guy that played in a Final Four, shoots over 40% from three. Xavier Brown has been around the block, a guy that played really well over at St. Joe's over the last few seasons. And for Arkansas, they should have Darius Acuff back in this game. How close 100% is he going to be? He did miss that season finale against Missouri. He's been playing through injury all season long. I do think that he's still going to be somewhat effective, but that has to be taken into account a little bit. And for Oklahoma, this is a team that has been really rolling. You mentioned it. Their season's pretty much on the line with being able to win these games in the SEC tournament. Firstly, I think that you need to reward winning. And Oklahoma, they've actually done a little bit of that down the stretch, unlike a lot of these bubble teams. But I was willing to take the 6 here with Oklahoma to go along with that under of 167 or so.
All right. So this fits tonight with what question I'm going to ask you when you have an opinion on the game. Number one, your level of concern with these teams that had a week off that received a bye into the semis, like Hawaii and also in the Big West, American Athletic, and also the WAC. And you like Hawaii, but what's your level of concern with these teams with this week off and a bye into the semis, please?
I think it's a little bit situation by situation. A team that plays really up-tempo, a team that is really looking to push tempo, I think that that actually helps them out a little bit. A little bit more of a rhythm team like Arkansas, a team that shoots a lot of threes, a team that they just want to be sort of in balance. I think that it affects them a little bit more. Teams that rely upon their low post play, they're looking to pound the ball down low, you sort of know what you're going to be able to expect out of them. Like Hawaii, that's a great example. A team that they're going to be relying upon being able to hit the boards, they rely upon their physicality. That's a team where I think that there's a little bit less concern rather than a team like Arkansas that needs to be in rhythm with their offense. So I do think that it's very much situational. That's going to be holding true for the NCAA tournament as well, because you obviously have some of these teams that are wrapping up their conference tournaments here this weekend. You have other teams that they won their conference tournament almost a week ago. So I do think that it's very much situation by situation, but I'm much more willing to trust in the teams that rely upon low post play and rebounding coming off of a long break rather than teams that rely upon guard play.
This Hawaii game tonight, the numbers kind of been all over the map here. I think you wrote about it at 3.5. It got to 5.5 about an hour ago at a lot of books. Now back down to 4.5. Are they still playable in your opinion?
Yes, anything below 6 is playable, in my opinion, on Hawaii. I really like this defense. They have been a top 30 team all season long in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis. Cal State Fullerton has just had a massive disadvantage on the glass as well. I was talking about how good Hawaii is down low. They're 26th in the country in terms of rebound percentage. Cal State Fullerton is outside the top 275. Now, one thing that Cal State Fullerton does a great job of is generating turnovers. Top 40 is the turnovers generated on a per-possession basis. You do have a Hawaii team that has had some turnover concerns, so that is something that needs to be taken into account. But I think that Hawaii is going to be able to do a nice job winning from within in this game. Fullerton has been a solid three-point shooting team, but Hawaii, while they do such a great job in the post, they're also one of the best three-point shooting defenses in all of college basketball as well. So even at the 5 that I'm seeing in a lot of spots, I was able to grab this at 3.5. I'd still be willing to lay a 5 with the Rainbow Warriors.
Okay. What'd you do with Irvine and Northridge?
Yep, this is one where with Northridge and Irvine, I just had to take the under. With Irvine, this team is so dominant defensively. There are 365 Division I college basketball teams, and they are number one in points allowed on a per-possession basis away from them. Now, I'm not willing to lay the 4 with Irvine because they are not good at the free throw line. They are outside the top 300 in terms of their free throw shooting percentage. Northridge is actually worse. Northridge is outside the top 340. That actually helps you out even further to the under, because let's say that you get into a foul fest when you're typically expecting like 10 points to go on the board in the final minute. You might not get those because these teams throw up brick after brick after at the free throw line. So I think that that helps you out greatly, but this Irvine team does a great job getting after it. Both of these teams turn the ball over quite a bit as well. Outside the top 225 in terms of ball security, that total's now gotten up above 151, so all the better. I do like the under in Irvine versus Northridge.
We're going to continue. Very good. With Greg Hoops Peterson, host of the Coast to Coast Hoops podcast right here at VSiN. We're going to get his thoughts on UCLA and Sparty a little bit later on tonight. And we're going to run down some of the numbers that are on the board for tomorrow as well. What does he make of Michigan laying a monstrous number against Wisconsin? Find out next. We'll be right back.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
We continue here with more college basketball. Greg Hoops Peterson, our guest. He does a great job hosting the Coast to Coast Hoops podcast on a daily basis right here for VSiN. Follow him on X at GUnit_81. Okay, so this Big Ten game tonight, both Paulie and I are fascinated by it. 9 o'clock tip time on the East Coast, 6 o'clock out here. UCLA against Sparty, Michigan State, Greg Lane, about 5.5 in that range total. Low 140s, about 141.5. What is your handicap here of this game?
Yep, and I took the under right away in this game because Michigan State has just traveled so well with their defense. They allow opponents to grab 19.1% of their missed shots as an offensive rebound away from home. That is tops in all of college basketball. UCLA, a team that very much relies upon their three-point shooting. They've been a top 25 team in the country in terms of their three-point shooting percentage, but Michigan State has been a top 85 team in terms of guarding the arc. And I find this really interesting about Michigan State, and it's been one of the weirdest splits that I've seen all season long. Michigan State shoots 32.7% from three-point range at home. That goes up above 39% away from home.
Wow.
And UCLA just has not been strong on the inside. They're outside the top 225 in terms of opponents' two-point shooting percentage. And I'm sure that you guys realize this as much as I have. UCLA, a complete and utter wagon when they've been at home this year. They have not been able to travel in any of the last 2 years, ever since they joined the Big Ten.
Yep.
Like, you've got Mick Cronin always whining about seeing the Statue of Liberty and everything like that. UCLA is just a completely different team away from home. I just had to lay with Michigan State. I was willing to go up to right around 6.5, 7 in this game. So laid the 5.5 with Michigan State and took the 142 under.
Anything in the Mountain West in the late games? A great bubble game with Aztecs and Lobos.
Yep, I do think that New Mexico wins this game outright on the money line against San Diego State. I just have not loved what I've seen out of San Diego State this far this season. I mean, they've got a lot of talent. Magoon Gwath is a really good shot blocker. Yeah, guys are able to bomb it from three, like B.J. Davis and company, but it just feels like New Mexico is a more complete team, and they do a really good job in terms of shutting off the three-point line as well. Top 25 team in terms of opponents' three-point shooting percentage. That total opened up right around about 150 or so. I set mine at a 147, so I do like the under in that spot as well, because I do think that you're going to be able to get a really good defensive effort here as well. And then in that other game of Nevada versus Utah State, I was willing to take anything above 6.5 points. With Nevada, I saw 6.5 overnight. I personally took that myself, mainly because with Utah State, this is a team that's going to give it up a little bit from three-point range, and Nevada does the little things well. They're a top 50 team in terms of not turning the ball over away from home. They shoot it well from three, and they're amazing at getting to the free throw line. Nevada, a top 5 team in the country in terms of free throw attempts on a per possession basis. So I took New Mexico and I took Nevada in the Mountain West tournament.
All right, so games for tomorrow. And when it first popped at DK, Michigan was 12.5 against Wisconsin. I told you guys during the break, FanDuel had 10.5 on Michigan. It has since moved to 11.5 and is now, like a minute later, at 12.5. Michigan is laying 12. What did they close today against Ohio State? Wasn't it like around the same number, or 13, something like that? Barely covered that game. And Wisconsin went to, I don't know. Again, my takeaway is I have to take the Badgers plus the points. What about you?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I'm right there with you. And I mean, I've been saying this the last few weeks, and I'll say it once again. Wisconsin is the greatest team of volatility outside the one seeds that you're going to find in college basketball right now. These same guys lost by double figures a few weeks ago against Oregon just before the Super Bowl. They have that terrible loss against USC, but they knock off Michigan on the road. They go on the road, they take down Purdue. They go on the road, they take down Illinois. Now they've won two games in overtime against Illinois, as a matter of fact, in the state of Illinois. Like, this is a Wisconsin team that can go far in the bracket, and boy, oh boy, can they absolutely implode it if they get upset as well. But I'm willing to take this many points here with Wisconsin, because clearly they were able to find something on Michigan when they were rocking and rolling early on during the season. Like, when Wisconsin took down Michigan, that's when it looked like this Michigan team was almost unbeatable. That's when they were blowing teams out by 25-plus points. They were coming off of that tournament in Las Vegas where they just absolutely crush everything in their sight. This is a Wisconsin team that they live by the three and they die by the three. Like, they take over 50% of their field goal attempts from three-point range. You've got John Blackwell, Nick Boyd, who combined for over 38 points per game. If these guys are hot, they're one of the best tandems in all of college basketball. If they are cold, this team has absolutely no shot whatsoever. But I'm a little bit concerned about Nolan Winter and his injury for Wisconsin, but 12.5 points, just too many here. I set my handicap at 9, so I'm taking the double figures with Wisconsin.
You taking the points with Dayton against St. Louis? I don't know what has happened to the St. Louis team, and condolences on your George Washington loss.
Oh, That was absolutely brutal right there. But we're just starting to see some openers pop right now. And spirited effort, by the way, by St. Bonaventure being able to hold in that game. But as of right now, I'm seeing this pop at about a 5.5. And that is my buy point here. I set Dayton as a 4.5 point underdog. So 5.5. That does become a buy point on a Dayton team that we saw them a few weeks ago be able to take down the St. Louis bunch. And what I love about this Dayton team, they generate turnovers. They are 7th in the country in terms of turnovers generated on a per possession basis in their defense. And that's the one kryptonite with St. Louis. The reason why St. Louis has had so many issues have been turnovers. They're outside the top 220 in terms of turnovers generated on a per possession basis in the back half of the season. They were playing against the Atlantic 10 teams that are able to generate turnovers, like Dayton, for example. VCU is an okay team in terms of being able to do that as well. So I do think that this is a little bit of a tough matchup for St. Louis. Don't want the money line with Dayton. I don't know if they quite pull it off a second time, but being able to get anything above 5, I'll be in on those points with Flyers.
What do you make of South Florida laying 13.5 against Charlotte?
Ooh.
I think that's just a little bit too high. Now, South Florida has been covering a lot of big numbers, including one against Charlotte a few weeks ago. That was a game where Charlotte lost by 20-plus points, but this is a Charlotte team that's going to be looking to slow the game down while South Florida is looking to push tempo. South Florida is a top-5 team in the country in terms of total possessions per game. Charlotte is a bottom 40 team, and Charlotte has been able to give themselves some second and third chances. They're a top 125 team in terms of their three-point shooting percentage, and one thing I've noticed with South Florida, they will give up open looks from three-point range. They're outside the top 235 in terms of opponents' three-point shooting percentage. They're a really good team down low, and they'll grab themselves some second and third chances. But I do think that for Charlotte, having DeZane Mingo run in the point for this team, doing all that he does, and then you've got the big man down low, Anton Bonke. Hopefully I said that correct. He's a seven-footer that's able to give you a little bit of stretchability, shoot from three. I think that that's going to be enough for Charlotte to hold in this game. So I feel like the number's just gone a little bit too high, though, I mean, I'll say it myself. Hopefully South Florida gets up into the NCAA tournament if they don't win the American over. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know, some 14, 15 loss team in a power conference because feel like they deserve it, but going to be willing to take the points with Charlotte.
Yeah, yeah, you're not kidding there. Hoops, love the knowledge as always, man. Enjoy the games tonight. Best of luck. That goes throughout the entire weekend as well. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely. You gentlemen have a good one. Thank you.
Thank
Greg
you.
Peterson on the Progressive Guest Line, host of the Coast to Coast Hoops podcast right here on the VSiN Network of Podcasts. Let me run this by you. You can always tweet the show at VSiN Live, at Mitch Moss Radio, at Paulie Howard. This is from Dan Goodwin. Really good dude from Indiana. He came out to the Dexter Moss Memorial Race two summers ago when it was back around the Indianapolis area. He's over at the Paris Sportsbook. Guy directly next to his group, 45 minutes deep on a phone call, speakerphone the entire time, feet popped up on the chair. As he said, absolutely tilting.
Come on.
That's this guy right here, right? At the sports book. Yeah, Chuck shot a 74 today. Can't wait. Got 6:30 tee time. Just like, what? Where's the respect?
That's jail time.
Yes, it is.
That's a public beating. That's, you can hit him with a shovel. Put it on pay-per-view. $29.99. As I tweeted back at him, camel clutch. Absolutely. That is just, oh, man.
That's a
Breaking Bad episode, I think. The guy walks into the bank, and he's trying. And the teller's asking him questions, and he's like on the phone the whole time.
That's
and,
right.
Yeah, that's happened at Walgreens. That's happened at the drive-thru where the person's on the phone, and then they're trying, like the clerk's trying to ask you a question. We'll get your order right or something at Walgreens, and they're hold on a second. But get off the phone. What are you doing? Put the phone down.
Yeah.
And with that guy on the speaker, I don't want to hear your conversation.
No, ever. It's unacceptable.
He's got to say something. Paul. Dan's got to say something. If he's going to have to throw, so be it.
Oops, sorry, okay. I spilled my 32-ounce draft beer all over your head. I didn't mean to do that, pal. God, I stumbled. Somebody tripped me coming back to my chair. Golly, that's a mess. That's unfortunate. You have to go back and change now and get the hell out of the sports
book. I want to see what the guy looks like. Take a picture of him. See what he looks like.
That's always a little dicey.
These guys do a great job, though, whether it's at the sports books or the airplanes, grabbing the feet pictures, guys with the bare feet. So,
what do you make of that, though? Because they put him on Front Street. The person's face will be on the photo.
Yeah, go right up to him.
You okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm not okay with VCU playing games here. Duquesne with an early lead. Tulsa's up 2. 19 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have the ball? I don't know. But they came all the way back after being down.
No, it's
big.
North Texas ball.
Oh, boy. Okay. Plus 350 in play on a money line. Follow the money brought to you by ProfitX. They're making March Madness about more than just your bracket. King of March, free trips worth up to $10,000 on the line. All you have to do is win 10 pregame spreads or totals across the tourney's 67 games and hit your volume goal. Flights, hotels, your destination all covered. Rack up another 10 wins and earn another entry. Code VSINMM. Compete. Become the King of March. Only on ProfitX. Download it now. VSINMM.
Our buddy. Your buddy.
The commish.
Yep, the commissioner. The big one. Bruce Marshall coming up. He has a lot of bets that he has on the card for tonight. Find out what he likes next here on VSINMM.